I founded Activate in 2016 because changing the trajectory of someone's life is actually the most contagiously happy thing that you can imagine doing. We are employer-centric, and I have always believed that if we understand that employers are our customers and we give them the talent that they want and need, they will become repeat customers and they're going to help us increase our mission.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor, and this episode is with Helen Young Hayes, founder and CEO of Activate Work. And a few times a year, I feature a nonprofit that I really admire. And generally, it's one that also is sort of tied to the Colorado business community. Activate Work is just that. It's an organization that finds diverse and untapped talent, screens them, and trains them in job skills, also in soft skills needed to succeed, like work ethic, initiative, and coachability. The program has tremendous stats, and I'm happy to feature Activate Work on ProCo 360. Helen Young Hayes, glad you're with me in studio.
Thanks, Dave. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and you know, we should give a quick shout out. The person who introduced us years ago is my friend Linda Montgomery, and we hope she's well, right?
Yes. Thanks to Linda.
Yes, thanks to Linda. So talk about the mission at Activate Work.
We are a nonprofit, and we drive economic mobility and prosperity for Coloradans who typically have been underrepresented in the economy and in the tech industry. What we do is we provide 100% free IT training and credentialing that results in employment placement. Our average learner experiences a large increase in their income and their earnings.
Yeah, like over 90% or something, right?
Yeah, 80 to 90%. Yeah. Right, right. After a free 15-week intensive boot camp. But that's just the first part of the story, because after that, the economic mobility and the income gains continue. This is, after all, the IT industry.
Yeah.
And so the next raise is often a 30 to 40% increase as well.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I've heard of other organizations around the country and even around Colorado that do similar kinds of things, discovering untapped, underutilized talent. What's different about Activate Work?
I'd say there are a couple of things that are different about Activate Work. One is that we do focus on serving the tech industry, and that creates a rare win-win-win for a nonprofit like ours. First of all, the tech industry has a chronic tech talent shortage. There are about 1 million tech jobs short, unfilled in the nation, 700,000 open cyber jobs. Here in Colorado, we've got 17,000 open cyber jobs. And these jobs are not only hard to fill, but they're incredibly lucrative.
Yeah.
So the average tech job is about $104,000 in salary. So you have kind of the perfect storm with a need for talent, great jobs, and also a lack of diversity in the tech industry, which is largely white and largely male.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are providing talent that has been screened and skilled and trained with the state-of-the-art industry credentials and training methods. And then we're equipping them also with those career readiness skills that are so important, actually,
yeah,
sometimes more important to employers.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about some more of that. But first, tell me sort of, you know, listeners, like what's a typical learner that you bring into the system?
Yes. Yeah, so the typical learner is around 30 to 32 years old. They have had work experience.
Huh, older than I would have expected.
Yeah, yeah. So we actually serve 18 to 71 was our oldest, but the sweet spot is 30 to 32. These are individuals who might not have had the opportunity to go to college. In fact, 2/3 of our learners do not have a bachelor's degree.
Mm. They're working now? They're working when you bring them into the system?
They are often working. They might be in a different industry like construction or customer service, retail, hospitality, mm-hmm. Or they might have some IT experience. They might even have an engineering degree from a different country and just found it really hard to find that opportunity in tech.
Well, what do they say when they come to you and they're working construction or they're working at a warehouse or whatever? I mean, are you finding them in some ways? Do you advertise to find them? Or do they just say there's got to be a better world and they find you?
It's a little bit of both. We do advertise on LinkedIn, Facebook, and other social media, and our ads go something like this. Have you always wanted a career in tech, but haven't been able to achieve one? People find us, too. And we also have friends and family referrals as we've grown our network of graduates. We've served some 400 people since 2020.
Yeah, and they become your word of mouth as well.
They become our word
of mouth.
So
talk about the typical employer then. What are they after?
Well, the typical employer is very representative of the whole industry. Everyone needs tech talent, from your small mom and pops to your medium-sized companies to your uber-large global organizations. And half of the companies that we serve are in the tech industry. The other half come from a diverse range of industries like healthcare,
and
retail.
They need tech workers.
And they need tech workers.
But I mean, I wouldn't think that a startup with 5 or 10 employees is going to use somebody that you release, don't they? I mean, they're attracting talent. They want somebody who's like knows what they're doing right now, don't they? Or am I wrong?
Actually, we have found that a lot of the smaller companies that we work with have a hard time competing with the big companies for tech talent. And so they can't afford someone who's got 3 to 5 years of experience and a comp sci degree. And so they're looking for more early career talent like ours and, willing to grow them.
I'm thinking about a guy that I just, the CEO of Total, that just came on with me. In fact, we release it tomorrow. Anyway, he was like, he was talking about, you know, the thrill of the all-night sessions and the hardcore stuff that you see on television is real. I mean, are the people that are, you know, have been working construction or have been doing whatever they've been doing, like, are they equipped to do that kind of intense startup tech-driven 24-hour sleep at your desk kind of thing?
This is a really good question, because when we are looking for learners, we're really looking for 5 things: work ethic, initiative, follow-through, coachability, and IT aptitude. These are individuals who would have built their own computer maybe in junior high school, or they would hook up their parents' Wi-Fis and LANs and WANs for them. They're going to be the people who are troubleshooting your computer at home or your neighbor's computer system when it's going on the brink. And so individuals who have a strong passion for computers and technology but maybe never were able to have that traditional 4-year college degree straight into industry.
Well, that's interesting. And does that passion plus training, 15 weeks of boot camp, I mean, do those things intersect fast enough to be a resource for a startup?
That's a great question. So the first word I would use to describe our boot camps is grueling. Actually, that's the adjective that most of our learners describe them as. 7 hours a day of intense, very fast-paced technical IT training. The result is a certificate, which is known as the A-plus certificate. Additionally, we'll spend 1/5 of all the days studying and learning and training and practicing durable skills like critical thinking, like time management, et cetera.
How do you teach somebody critical thinking?
Well, this is part of our curriculum.
Yeah, I know, how do you do that?
Well, you can give them problems and have them take a certain framework for how they're going to solve the problem. And then, we'll do an exercise, for example, where we have people take different sides of a problem and assess it from different perspectives and then talk about what's the best outcome. So there are ways to train these.
Yeah.
But I would say that the combination of passion and then the combination of this very fast-paced boot camp, 7 hours a day plus 2 to 3 hours of homework a night. So what we have is really, really proven passionate tech talent.
Yeah.
And that's what employers are looking for. In fact, people tell us, I can train someone with the program or application that they need on the job, but what I can't train is that passion. They have to have a passion for IT, and ours have demonstrated it.
So would you say, I'm just coming up with this because I'm wondering, like a year after they're out and a year after they've been working, are your students different than, you know, people who've come up through college. Can you tell?
I have gotten this feedback from people that there is a lot of difference between our learners who have some lived experience, who have some, you know, who want to be in this industry and who are really proven. And so that work ethic is proven, the passion is proven, and being able to cover the amount of material that they cover in 15 weeks, they're proven to be fast learners and lifelong learners.
Yeah, but I mean, do they, and listeners, you didn't see this, but I just distracted Helen by spilling my water across the table and all my notes. So what I'm really wondering is, like, could you tell in a year after they've finished, like, are they just assimilated just like they were part of the team to begin? Like they came up the way a traditional student came up? Or do they still have some different attributes? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I would say in some respects, they add more. And they are, I have been told by employers that they are more mature, that they're more focused. But in terms of getting up to speed, there's essentially no difference. And in many cases, they're outperforming their peers.
Now, your stats are pretty strong. 84%, you say, graduate within that multi-week framework with certificates. 79% have a job within a year. Now, that actually surprised me. I thought it would be higher.
It was higher, as a matter of fact, until about a year and a half ago when the tech hiring recession hit during COVID and the shift to remote work. There was a lot of actually over-hiring that we realized
happened.
Yeah,
there was like a bunch of, it was almost like hoarding talent, right? During COVID.
Right.
And so now you're feeling the opposite.
We're feeling the opposite. So there is a slowdown in hiring, a lot of hiring freezes as they work through this bubble of, working down their headcounts.
Yeah.
So this happens in the tech industry about once every 20 years, and we're in it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for you. Here you are. You've got talent ready to go. Although you did say there were hundreds of thousands of jobs open. So where's the disconnect?
That is such a great question. The disconnect really stems from the traditional way that tech companies and tech employers and hiring managers have looked at talent. It used to be with an abundance of talent that hiring managers could be really picky. And so they would slap a college degree requirement plus 2 to 4 years of experience.
Oh, yeah. Regardless whether it was really necessary.
Exactly.
That was just a way to filter the...
That's right. And so in so doing, they would screen out the majority of the talent. And in fact, I was just meeting with a chief information officer right before I came over here. And she said that she would rather hire credentials over college degrees any day. So this is just something that has been a tradition in the tech industry that really has resulted in hiring managers and the industry shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, and also if you've got those formulas that involve 4-year degrees and things like that, you're also essentially constraining your DEI initiatives, right?
That's right. And so as a matter of fact, college is not a pathway for 76% of Coloradans and certainly not a pathway for the majority of our Coloradans who are people of color, who are women, who are veterans or have military experience.
But tech can be.
So tech is the great democratizer.
That's cool. Let's take a quick break. Listeners, this is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 3 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and this is the podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Helen Young-Hayes of Activate Work. Thanks to sponsors, Kinsley Meetings, and they are our longest-running sponsor at ProCo 360. They built a great business based on taking care of their clients, running meetings with lots of moving parts all over the world. Thanks to them, also via Technologies. Really appreciate them hosting ProCo 360 and all the great help the team gives me around managing the website, Colorado Biz Magazine, and that's one where we're building our partnership and our audience together. Also, Denver Angels. Really appreciate Denver Angels and David Pritchard. We're partnering to feature great Colorado companies. Go to ProCo360.com and check out these sponsors. All right, so let's talk maybe some examples of your graduates, your students, and also of employers. So let's start with a very specific example of a student that you think paints kind of a picture that helps us understand what you're really doing.
Right. So I'm thinking of one of our women graduates who came to this country as an immigrant from Africa, really bright, had a college degree, loved science and loved IT. She ended up working as a home health care aide and was making minimum wage. Mm-hmm. She found our program, and it's just incredible. She's been in the workforce now for 3 years. She has gotten probably 7 different credentials on top of her first credential. She has gotten numerous raises. And she's making close to 6 figures now. So, you know, what a dream.
Yeah, that's great. And what about a good example of an employer maybe that didn't understand what they could get by partnering with you who now gets it?
Yeah. So we have actually about 45 employer partners who partner with us. And often the first hire or two are more, I'm going to try this out, but not sure how someone without a college degree necessarily, is going to fit in. And then the amazing thing is our repeat customers. So, for example, I'll just think of the Office of Information Technology, which is the
Colorado
governor's,
office,
right?
Yeah.
The Colorado Office of Information Technology, who have been hiring individuals not only in cyber, but also in software engineering, and looking to, every time we chat with them, they're looking to expand the program because they're getting great talent that are humble, hungry, and smart.
Humble, hungry, and smart. What's the humble part? You haven't talked about that before.
Yeah, I think that is part of being teachable. That's part of the coachability that we're looking for, being really hungry and eager to learn.
You know, I think about, you know, I'm some soapbox here. I live in a neighborhood where like one kid mows the lawn, the rest, and the idea of being like a humble, hard worker, like that seems to be diminishing these days. But your population brings it with them?
Amazingly, yes. Yes.
You must see some great stories of that too, just hard, hard work.
You know, that's why we love what we do. That's why I founded Activate in 2016, because changing the trajectory of someone's life is actually the most contagiously happy thing that you can imagine doing. And so whether you talk to someone who, whose father worked construction and whose mother didn't work construction, this individual that I'm thinking about, intergenerational poverty, and he became a father at the age of 17, lost his father at the age of 15, had to become the man of the family, sole breadwinner for multi-generational family. And for him to find us, for us to find him, he's going to become a homeowner soon. I mean, these are the types of stories that are, really, truly heartwarming.
Yeah, they are. I've seen people who've changed their lives in that way, and it is a contagious, what was the term you used?
It's contagiously happy
and
joyful.
I mean, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's hard not to feel good in the presence of people who have lifted themselves up and have a happy future.
Yes.
Speaking about happy future, I mean, you had a happy life at Janus Funds, didn't you? Maybe not. But you switched from being like this high-powered portfolio manager to doing this. What's that story?
That's a really interesting story. I absolutely loved being a portfolio manager at Janus. In fact, if you had asked my 35-year-old self what is the ideal dream job that you would ever have, I would have said being a fund manager at Janus. So loved the people that I worked with, loved the people that we were investing for, just loved everything about it. But inside, I had always wanted to help people really achieve success. And I think part of that comes from being the daughter of Chinese immigrants who came to this country on borrowed money and on full scholarship. They had both lost everything during World War II. And so I can relate very much to immigrants and refugees who come to this country with nothing but hope and optimism and hard work. And yeah. That was my family's story. I also grew up in Mississippi during the 60s and the 70s, during a time of great racial unrest, systemic racism, bias, prejudice, and this was at the height of the civil rights movement. It left an incredible mark on me to want to close those gaps that seem to just persist so long in our society.
So was something like eating at you at Janus, or you're like, oh, this is super fun, I'm making a lot of money, but I don't, where did that go?
No, you know, actually, to be completely honest, I just got the invisible tap on the shoulder, and it was like, okay, it was 2015, and I was doing a study on the book of Esther. It's an Old Testament book, and there are words that Esther's cousin said to her. And he said, and who knows but that you've come to royal position for such a time as this. And that phrase just grabbed me. Daily, for days and days and days. And then the days turned into weeks, and I kept on thinking, and who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. And I knew that I was being called to this such a time as this, to repair some of what's wrong in our society, to close some of the persistent gaps in education, in opportunity, in employment, in income, and in wealth. And so this just became a burning passion. I had to do it. I had to answer that tap on the shoulder.
How long did you stay at Janus after that tap?
Oh, I had retired already.
Oh, you had?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Got it. So then you had to start something new. You started Activate Work. Obviously, it changed your life. You went from being retired to now being leading an organization that depended on you, right?
It has been remarkable. And I can just say that now I know why entrepreneurs are either crazy or crazily optimistic. But, starting Activate and launching Activate, and now we're at the phase where we're growing Activate, has been by far the hardest thing I've ever done. It's taken twice as long. It's been more expensive, and it has been infinitely more joyful.
Wow. The hardest thing you've ever done?
Yes.
Even all the other things you did through Janus and everything else?
No question.
Why?
Because there wasn't a playbook for this. I just wanted to connect great talent with great opportunities, and I didn't know really how I was going to do it. So, being an analyst on Wall Street, I just analyzed the industry and decided that I wanted to really find job-ready, job-eager, job-seekers and connect them with full-time, full-benefit career path opportunities with great employers. And so no dead-end jobs, no low-skill, no low-wage jobs, and really focusing on building a mousetrap that didn't really exist.
That you say didn't really exist, but, there are other groups around the country that have similar designs on their mission, right?
There are other groups around the country that have similar designs, but I would say that one of the things that I identified that were missing that I felt we could fill at Activate Work are threefold. Connecting job seekers with jobs. So being that connective tissue, that social capital. There are a lot of organizations that train individuals. There are a lot of institutions that give people education.
Yeah, and certificates.
And certificates, right. But actually getting them to the employer, getting them a new job, and then wrapping around them with the coaching that we do. We coach everyone for 12 months after they
12
get
months.
Their,
wow.
12
yeah,
months
yeah, yeah.
after they get their new position so that they can be so they can have the habits and mindsets that are going to be yeah. successful in the long term. So we were looking at long-term success. We were looking for not just getting by, but ultimately we want to bring people to wealth creation.
Now, it seems that you mentioned wealth creation. It seems that your roots in Denver's successful society, as of, you know, that you got through meeting all kinds of people who were investors at Janus and so. I mean, you've been able to tap that in the employment community, whether it's directly or through connections or whatever. I mean, people respect you as a businesswoman, and right. I mean, doesn't that help you create those relationships?
That does. I think that being a businesswoman and working with CEOs and CFOs, understanding their business needs, has made us also somewhat unique in this space.
Yeah.
And so you ask a good question, Dave, like what makes us different? We are employer-centric, and I have always believed that if we understand that employers are our customers and we give them the talent that they want and need, they will become repeat customers, and they're going to help us increase our mission. So we are unapologetically employer-centric.
You know, that's an interesting distinction, too, because, I mean, if your heart wants you to serve people, you really can't serve them by inappropriately serving the people who need to employ them, right? I mean, you can't prioritize students over employers, or you just won't last, right?
Right. And so there's, we call it our tension bridge, if you can imagine, like a suspension bridge, and it's being held up by cables. We have to serve both. But we are really clear that if we don't drive talent and train talent so that our customers want that talent, then we're not going to have a model or a program.
Yeah. You don't have a second shot at that kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see where that 12 months of coaching, continuing coaching mm-hmm. up. Now, the market you mentioned earlier, alluded to it earlier, the market softened around tech talent, although there's still lots and lots of open jobs. But, you know, how do you approach that with employers that are have their own tension bridge between, you know, how much talent they want, how much they want to accumulate, when to train, when to wait? Yeah.
Sure. Well, part of it is listening to employers really well. We have formed a new ecosystem of employers that I'll call our tech sector partnership. We have 20 of Colorado's leading employers who are telling us these are the jobs that we need. These are the, and working together to tell us what are the technical and durable skills that they need. And we're building a continuum of talent so that we're adding to the overall tech workforce.
And so the curriculum is adapting?
Curriculum is adapting. It's very demand-led, it's industry-led, and we're getting input from employers, and we're giving them the talent that they want.
So here's, you know, a question. I know a little about tech, and, you know, it's one thing to teach somebody to be a network administrator or, you know, foundational kinds of skill sets. What employers want now is, I want somebody with experience to do cybersecurity, or I want somebody who can start running AI. And neither of those are like basic skill sets, are they? So where do you connect that?
Wow, that's such a profound question that I think, you know, this actually is one of the systemic questions that tech should be looking at and thinking about. If you have entry-level jobs that are going to be reduced because of AI and the use of automation, which of course is accelerating, then how do you train entry-level individuals so that you've got your next level of individuals ready to take those cyber jobs, et cetera? Our solution to that, and it's not a new solution, it's a solution that's been around for hundreds of years in other countries, is apprenticeship. And those are on-the-job learning and earning experiences where yeah. someone is paired with a mentor and where over the course of, say, 12 months, you've got your cyber talent who comes from an entry-level boot camp and who is a mid-level cyber apprentice. Governor Polis is a big fan of apprenticeship. We're one of the leading states for apprenticeship, and we are at Activate Work one of the leading IT apprentice providers in the state.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, it takes a bit of a bit of patience and certainly commitment from an employer to say, yeah, we're going to invest in this person so that they can be scalable into these other skills. And
right.
Such.
I mean, well, you know, and remember that there is still a shortage of especially mid-level talent. And so cyber jobs, right. As I mentioned, 17,000 open cyber jobs. Where are you going to get your cyber analysts from?
But that's mid-level talent. I know it's mid-level. It's not the people that are getting trained for a year.
Right, right. Yeah. And so that's why I think that we need a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. There is a bill that is it should have been debated and finalized now, but there's a state bill and there is a national bill supporting apprenticeship, for example. What we really need is we need an alternative to college, which is only serving about 24% of Coloradans. We need an alternative to college, and that can be apprenticeship, not only in IT, but in the skilled trades, in manufacturing, in healthcare, et cetera.
Yep.
Just getting people the skills that they need so that they can take care of their families and thrive.
For sure. And you're Colorado-based. Is there? Well, you were living here. I suppose that's the number one reason. But is Activate Work doing well because of your, I mean, could you do this anywhere? Or is there something special about the Colorado ecosystem that helps?
There's something really special about the Colorado ecosystem. First of all, Denver is a big small town, as you know. And you're really only one introduction away from basically anyone in town. So I really appreciate the intros from our employer partners to other employers, or from you to your customers or your partners, because we are small enough that the tech hiring slowdown really shouldn't be impacting us, because we can just add new employer partners.
Yeah.
And we can also serve employer partners in ways that are deeper. So if we serve them with IT support and they're looking for network administrators, we can serve those. We can bring them cyber analysts, et cetera. So there's so many ways to grow what we do, and Denver's a great place to do it. I also think, though, that Denver is a really, and Colorado, I should say, a really unique community, because I firmly believe that we are a people of goodwill. And that is something that is really unique about Colorado. If you think about when people move here, they say, oh, I can't believe how nice Coloradans are. They will introduce me to anyone. And so generous with their time and social capital. And I really think that in Colorado, this concept is so much more appealing at the get-go, because we're a community of goodwill.
Yeah. I think that's a nice note to end on.
Thank you.
Let's do that. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. Today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Helen Young-Hayes of Activate Work. Helen, I'm glad you were here in studio with me, and I'm glad you were happy to answer some of the tougher questions.
Well, thanks for asking all the questions, the tough ones too.
You're welcome. And hey, a quick shout out to Holly Shrewsbury from GBSM. It was her idea. She reached out and said, you should have Helen. And although I already knew you, I hadn't thought about that. So anyway, believe it or not, that's how some of these episodes come together. Listeners, glad you're here on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. If you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors, Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado.